What's that sound? That's the sound of grilling season. My name's Claire Grills, and I've been inhaling charcoal smoke for over 40 years. Father's Day is coming up soon, so don't you forget to give your father the best gift of all, silence. Mixed with a cold IPA and the sizzle of steaks and burgers on his favorite charcoal grill. Now, you might be thinking, Claire, I thought women did all the cooking. Well, in most cases, that's true. A woman's place is in the kitchen, but a man's place is over the hot grill on a 90-degree day while yelling at cars driving by to slow down. So, go outside and leave him the hell alone this Father's Day, because even though it's hot as hell next to that grill, your dad is in heaven.
With a lot of these commercials, I just, like, I sit down and then I get it done and then, like, but, like, it just consumes me for a while. Oh, Poppy's trying to get it into my
headphones. Uh-oh. Yep. Headphones. He loves eating headphones.
Hey, Bob. Oh, Poppy.
He's gonna eat those for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he was so gonna eat those.
He tries to eat your shoelaces too. What if he chewed up your new shoes?
Those ones are big laces. It'd be tough. They're pretty fat.
He's willing to work on it. He's been tearing these chairs apart. Did you know that, Jake?
That's what Eric was telling me.
This couch, the chairs, the curtains, just everything mostly that
Monster
you can claw.
Monster boy.
What a puppy.
Okay, so let's get started for real.
I guess
we didn't start yet.
I mean, yeah. We sort of did, but I don't know what I'll keep.
Well, we start recording, but then we can really get started.
Yeah, because I don't usually use everything, but sometimes. You know, we go for like an hour and I'll use everything. But if we happen to go long this time, I don't think we will.
We're not going to. Jake said he would walk away.
I got to go.
Yeah, you got to walk. You got to go.
I got to go.
That's right. Okay. So let's go.
Okay. So I am.
This is the blanket fort, by the way.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to From the Blanket Fort. This is Katie.
Hi, I'm Eric, and we got Katie's brother on today. It's Jacob. Say what's up, Jacob.
What's up? 7:13 on a Friday at my grandma's house. Happy to be here. Long time listener.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
He revealed off air that he has only listened to half of the last episode, though. So I don't think he's truly up to speed. He didn't do all of his homework.
Long listener of today.
Of just today while mowing Mandy's lawn.
Yeah, halfway through. Well, I didn't
Shouts
have a...
Shouts to Amanda, shout out.
Yeah, Amanda Mickle, she killed it in tennis yesterday. check my Snapchat if you want some good commentary on that match.
Where can we follow you, Jake?
You can follow me at Jack Willie on Snapchat. I think that's what they call it.
Nice.
That'll do.
That's what the kids say.
That's my handle.
Nice.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, I didn't have pockets while I was mowing the lawn, so my phone fell out a couple of times while I was trying to listen to the podcast, so I had to give up.
Yeah, wasn't going to work.
No.
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 Oh, well, I think he's up to speed. The reason we like to have Young Master Jacob on today, and he is officially a master, that's something we'll have to talk about. Jacob and I are both masters of something.
Yeah, I'm just a master of bullshit, mostly.
So, there are a few things we want to talk to Jake about. We want to talk to him about, let's start with, apparently the most important item on here is Fortnite.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I just got into it.
I'm actually bummed out we're not in a fort right now for the blanket fort.
Wait,
oh, no, what do you mean?
What do you mean? You don't see this beautiful fort?
Yeah, I mean, Katie's been working on it all day.
So, actually, we should talk about the fort first. Yeah. Our fort here... It's an open air fort, but supported by Brooke. Shout out to Brooke. Sent me for my birthday, which is next week. Everybody, mark your calendars. Brooke sent me this lovely multicolored parachute. Popeye really likes it. Yeah. We're just sort of
chilling in that.
We're keeping it loose though, because we couldn't make too small of a fort because Jacob's here.
So is that like the thing from gym class that like
Don't you recognize it? It's got the handles.
Not quite a bounce house, but it looks like one from the outside.
And Popeye likes roaming around in it.
Yeah, he just, you know, he's all about it.
Really. So I guess Popeye's kind of on the podcast. He's just not going to say anything.
Yeah, he's probably won't make too much noise, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. The Poppy, he makes his presence known.
Yeah, in other ways.
Oh, Poppy. Why you claw my feet, Poppy? Yeah. Popeye.
Cats will be a later topic, but yeah, what did you guys want to talk about in relation to Fortnite? I've had two students write essays about Fortnite, so I know it's a big deal, but I don't really know why.
I guess my first question is, can you only play it at night? Or
oh, I mean, that's the only time I've been playing it, because I have stuff to do, but like when I, yeah, that's pretty much when I play it. I mean, usually like, when I get home from work, and I kind of didn't get it when I first started playing it. Like, I'm like, what do I do? I don't really, like, what am I supposed to do? But I played those, like, five-team, 20-player on a team thing. That, like, yeah. The big, what, the storm comes in
with,
on you.
With Thanos? Was Thanos in there?
No, I didn't see Thanos. Oh. No. I was weird. Like, I started playing, and I didn't even pick a character, I don't think. Like, it just, you were just whoever you were. Like, I thought that was kind of weird. Because I'm playing on Xbox, so, I don't know, a lot of people are playing, I think it's on PC.
I know you build forts in the game.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Why don't you tell us about the forts?
I mean, the forts, like, I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm not very good at it, so I'm just, like, building forts with, like, wood. You know, you got a big hammer, and you smash, like, cars or trees or houses and stuff, and you get all this equipment, and you start building your forts, you know? It's crazy, man.
It sounds really true to life.
You know, and I'm not very good at it. I'm bad at geometry, so building shit is always bad for me. I'm terrible at it. At work the other day, we had a employee appreciation, and I was trying to build a tower with spaghetti and marshmallows. It did not go well.
You didn't tell me about this.
Well, I was saving it for, you know.
That's how they wanted to show their appreciation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like an ice cream social. Okay. So they had like sorbet and shit out. Oh,
and they,
man, it was so
they
good.
Tasked you with, did somebody tell you to build a
no.
tower out of?
No, I just thought, I was like, why do work? Why not do this? Okay. You know, it was at my job.
Yes.
So like, I was like, well, why clean toilets when I can build a fort, you know? And, like, that's, I feel like my whole life is just now to build forts. Like,
oh.
I build a blanket fort, I build a fort out of spaghetti, I build a fort out of wood and stuff
Fortnite.
Or whatever, and Fortnite. Yeah. I'm not good at it, but
it sounds
sometimes
like,
in life you
okay.
gotta enjoy what you're not good at. Because I'm mostly not good at stuff.
I think that's the slogan of Fortnite, you just copied it. I think you could edit out everything else we just said and take that last little snippet.
Just, I'm not good at most things.
But building forts.
Yeah.
I'm not even good at that.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to think wheels are turning that, you know, I wanted to get Jacob on the podcast because, well, first off, he volunteered. He said, last time I saw him, and I quote, I want to be on the podcast, end quote. And then, so then we've been hounding him. I had to get my producer on him to get him to come. And then now the wheels are spinning. This podcast started, and I'm thinking you just wanted to get him here so he could tell you how to play Fortnite.
Well, I mean, I wanted to know, like, what, like, if he's played a lot or, like, what it, what's your experience with Fortnite?
You know what? Wheels are turning in my head now, Katie, and he was inviting me to a couple of Xbox Live parties the other day.
Yes, many
and
of
I'm
them.
Starting to put the pieces together, the fort together, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Fortnite. I'm a below the rim player in Fortnite, as in I don't like to get up high and build forts.
Yeah.
And so then I feel a lot like, I guess, Anakin Skywalker. Mm. Against Obi-Wan there in the final scene where he cuts him down on the high ground.
Yeah.
I always find myself
really below the rim, you know, because you can't jump because, you know, you ain't got legs.
I don't.
You know, somehow you're still living. I don't know.
The listeners don't know this.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
The listeners might understand the reference to high ground. It's a very popular meme. You see Ewan McGregor, one of my faves, as Obi-Wan, and he's got the high ground. And it all makes sense.
Well, Jedi's always got the high ground, they think.
Mm-hmm. But then again, they tend to fall very far and still somehow survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're still not learning how to play Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean,
but
you just
gotta
build really... You know what I saw that was really cool the other day is I was in a match and, like, we were in combat, like, against other players. And, like, somebody built a fort right where someone was standing and just, like, trapped him in a fort.
Oh, you
I was
can...
like, whoa, that's really cool. Someone just built a giant fort, like, almost immediately.
Okay,
like,
this appeals
spawning
to me
out of the sky.
Because one of the only games I've ever enjoyed is The Sims. And so, and you could kill people that way.
Oh, yeah.
By
well,
building,
I mean,
building
he can still get out of the
them.
Fort. Like,
yeah.
It,
oh.
You could, like, you have yeah. stuff, you have equipment that you could, like, hit it with, and it'll eventually, it'll you can get out. But, like, I just thought it was really cool, like, that.
It does slow
was
you down.
Was that
though?
The
yeah.
first time a fort was used for offense instead of defense?
I mean,
it's
I
really
felt
changing
like it was,
the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortnite.
You know? No, I mean, it's cool, too. It's everyone can play it. It's free. Like, I just thought that was cool. Like,
have you bought any cool skins yet?
I haven't gotten anything. I'm at, like, level 4 or 5. I just finally killed, like, the first person. It took me a few matches. Because you have to, like, find weapons. Like, you start basically with, like, a hammer, a giant hammer, and that's kind of it. And then you just, like, smash stuff, and then eventually you find, like, a pistol or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, 7 bullets of a machine gun. Like, you don't get very much. So, and for a while, like, I didn't even see anybody. Like, I was just, like, kind of confused about what, like, what are we even doing? Like, where's the
fort? What are we doing
here? Where's the fort part even coming in?
Yeah,
like, what
I tried
is
watching him a little bit, and it didn't make
I was
any
so
sense
confused,
to me.
Though. Yeah.
I'm getting excited for, like, maybe if I get back into any video games, it'll be Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts.
That's the other
oh,
game
is that one
I
coming
really
out?
Liked.
Or is there a new one coming out?
There's, like, time? A teaser every year.
Yeah, that they're going
never,
to, and then it hasn't
never
happened.
Happened.
But if it
yeah.
does happen, I'm back. I'm back, baby. But also, I liked
nice.
What we played at, hello, Jamie and Hamilton, if they're listening to this, but shout out to them. We went over and we played it with their virtual reality set.
Yeah, that
now, that was,
dope. Was
fun. We played something called Beat Saber, right?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And you have, like, 2 controllers in your hand, and you have the VR headset on, and you have to move your arms in a way to, like, hit, like, arrows on the
yeah.
screen.
So it's,
yeah.
like,
so it's like Guitar Hero
with lightsabers.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then there's also, the scary part of the game, though, is that a big wall of, like, shimmery purple matter will fly at you, and if you don't duck, then the music stops.
Yeah.
So you need to duck and dodge these walls too, and there are harder and harder levels, right? And
so,
it's kind of it was fun. I thought it was fun, but it reminded me of Just Dance, but like the virtual reality version.
Yeah. Well, my fear is like
that was. I wonder if we could hear Poppy going. Burr.
And
I hope so.
It's Popeye's cameo.
His one cameo. Going,
what are you doing for Poppy?
Anyway.
My fear with that is that I'm going to get so into the game and someone's going to record me while doing it and then put, like, a funny soundtrack behind it. While
oh,
I'm
it was
just
meme you
everywhere.
Out and then
yeah.
pretty
ruin
entertaining.
You and you'll have
to
leave
just,
the internet forever.
It was pretty entertaining to just watch somebody do the moves in front of you. And
yeah.
so that's nice.
Well, it's cool to, like, actually watch people who are good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like,
yeah,
like,
they were.
Whoa.
But what was funny was, like, Hamilton was, like, getting frustrated with part of a song, and he was, and that's his sister's fiance, and he was just, like, he was saying, like, this isn't working, and he was moving his arms, like, furiously at one point.
Oh, it was
and
great.
And it's really funny, like, the visual of, like, somebody, and he's standing in a corner with, like, a mask on, basically.
Think of just,
like throwing, like, a
yeah.
fit, it looked like, because
yeah.
he's
yeah.
doing the sabers. It was great.
Pouting and swinging at nothing might be the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, so it'd be really
just
easy.
Just with no context.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, Jake said it's, like, one of his greatest fears because... And that's why I was frankly surprised that he agreed to be on the podcast because I thought he'd listen to how we frequently make fools of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be too down to clown.
I didn't listen long enough.
No, yeah. See, ignorance is bliss. Like, he found it.
I listened
like,
to you both
great.
Argue about the name of the podcast on the first episode.
That's
yeah.
right.
And then I listened to the first... I got introduced to Joey Sixpack. Today.
Well, you
That's,
should. You
yeah.
sh- I bet you'd like our conversations with John and Brooke because you've met them.
Who are they?
You know, John and Brooke.
I'm just kidding, John. I know who you guys are.
I knew he was kidding, but
I love that you mentioned the first one that we argued about the name of the podcast. neither of which that we decided, we used a completely different name than the ones we were, like, arguing about.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, this is definitely the one at the very end of the podcast. And then
and it's
we
d- not
the and then it'll never, I don't even remember what it was. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's in the past. Okay, so I promised I'd keep you guys on track. And so we have to get to some other important topics. There are a few topics that are mostly going to be Eric and Jake talking because I don't have much to add. And then there's stuff that me and Jake have in common, like our whole lives, pretty much.
Yeah.
But,
mostly. So, this house. Yeah.
Yes.
Mostly your entire existence.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But anyway, so the NFL, the NBA, and your hockey segment. They have a hockey segment
Caps
later.
Here. Yeah.
From the Blanket Fort presents the hockey segment.
It's here. Yeah.
Jake, I'd just like you to tell us who won the game last night and who won the championship.
The Washington, D.C. Capitals won the championship.
And that concludes our hockey coverage for the year.
That was talking hockey.
That was the hockey segment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that concludes our hockey coverage from the Blanket Fort, the hockey segment.
Anyway,
hockey.
Yeah, the NFL has been. I'd like. Well, let's talk about the NBA first, because the NFL just gives me so much like stuff to feel shitty about, and the NBA is like actually like fun and like more lighthearted.
Yeah, it's joy.
It's been a weird last couple. Like the last week has been kind of weird, with like Colangelo getting fired the other day for having burner Twitter accounts, or his wife or whatever had burner Twitter accounts defending his like collars, like his shirts, like when he was in press conferences. Pretty funny. And
But primarily what I understood is he got fired because she was sharing sensitive information.
Yeah, like medical information. Yeah. And just like in general, just like trashing the players on the team.
The own players of the 76ers.
Yeah. So
it's just a bad look.
So I don't know if you agree with us, Jake, but we're of the mind that that was a good firing.
I think anybody could have predicted it, honestly. Like,
No, once I heard what happened, I didn't really think I needed more details about it. Like,
whether he knew about his wife doing that or not, it's like, well, sorry, you were supposed to keep that information safe.
Yeah, have you all talked about the concept of having burner accounts?
KD, not Katie here, but Kevin Durant was our first introduction to an actual, like, a real
burner account.
Like, well, I've probably been familiar with the idea of burner accounts before that, but just seeing, like, a prominent athlete, like, actually, like, arguing with eggs on Twitter is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Wow, Poppy just got into a cabinet. That is amazing. What a smart cat.
He don't have thumbs.
What do you do, Poppy?
He just has perseverance.
Yeah,
he
really does.
He doesn't have thumbs, but he has tenacity.
He just has a
thirst for knowledge.
Yeah, just like a real Harrison Ford in that
one
movie Spirit.
He's crawled into this completely full cabinet, and he's disappeared.
We're talking into a can, and this cat's changing the world.
Yep.
But, I mean,
anyway, back to Kevin Durant arguing with people on Twitter about why he's not bad at things.
Yeah, just like blaming stuff on Russell Westbrook, his old teammate, for like making like it hard on him, basically, to like be good and win. You know, to the capabilities that they have, because he didn't win a title before he got to Golden State. So, but just seeing a guy like on top of the world, seriously, the guy could not be more on top of the world. Essentially, like he's either the second or third best.
Yeah, as of recording this podcast, it might be useful for timestamps.
Oh, like, the Warriors have won the title.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, so this comes out in whenever, probably a couple days.
They won. They play
tonight. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, Kevin Durant is, like, either the second or third best player in the NBA, no matter who
And he feels the need to do this.
He needs the validation from fans. He hates the narrative that he is this front runner that, like, joined the greatest team of all time, which, I mean, you know, like, I feel like... And tell me if you agree with me, Jake. If you're going to be that way, you have to leave the internet, basically. You can't subject yourself to... If you're that sensitive, seriously. If you're Kevin Durant and you're the like, the best player in the NBA, probably. And the reason why Golden State's going to win this title. Like, how are... If you're going to be that sensitive to what people on the internet have to say, like, I don't... Like, what good does it do you to, like, try to argue with people on the internet about how good you are or whatever?
Well, that's the thing. I feel like you have such a fragile ego that you have to go this route. And like you said, he's on top of the world, like, conversation about passing the torch from LeBron to KD. He's there. And, I mean, the best part is, or at least my favorite part is, to do this, like, under the radar like this, is he knows, like, how bad of a reception he's going to get, like, if this is found out. Like, he knows what's going to happen if people figure this out. That's why he's not doing it openly, like, publicly, like, trash-talking people.
Right.
He's doing it incognito. But
what I did like was, actually, like, after Durant won the title, that first title last year, like, he was out on Twitter, like, openly being, like, basically double middle fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Which I loved. It was great. Like, even though I didn't want Golden State to win, like, I thought it was still great that, like, it brought out the best in Durant, and it brought out that, you know, that FU mentality that I love with athletes, honestly. Yeah. I like when athletes do that.
Well,
having supreme arrogance and confidence is, like, that's how you get to being the 1% of the 1%. Like, you're only in, like, if you're already one of the 450 best basketball players in the world, and now you're even on top of that sort of, like, of that, of 1% of even those 450. Like, I like seeing that confidence, but, like, to have the burner account just seems like the least confident thing in the world. Just, yeah. like, yeah. And for you to be doing, it's not like your mom is doing it. It's not like your friends are doing it. It's like, who is even on your side? That's what I want to know. Who are Kevin Durant's allies? Because he obviously doesn't feel like those people are out defending him hard enough, because he feels like he's got to do it.
I mean, like, beyond his friend entourage, like, do you think he has many people that are can get that close to him?
I don't know. Like,
we're just speculating at this point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously Durant has people around him he cares about, but, like, who in... It just feels like no matter what he does right now, he loses. Even if he wins. Even if he wins the title this year, when they win the title this year, people are still going to think of... It's more impressive what LeBron is doing than what Durant is doing with the Warriors. Like, no matter what, he's still fighting that narrative. And I feel like that might play into, like, where he wants to... No, he said today he's going to re-sign with the Warriors. I mean, that was expected. But, like, how long do you... I just don't know how long that it can last.
Yeah,
if this is how he still feels...
I think it really hurts him, too, that no matter how good he plays for the Warriors, that when Steph has a good game, that the fans everyone loves Steph more than him.
I love Steph. I haven't been into the NBA for very long, but, like, when we've been watching, like, these finals... I'm like, Steph Curry has, like, this really adorable energy about him. Like, he makes a basket, and he'll, like, do finger guns. And I'm like, oh, he's just, like, a cool dad. Because he is a dad. And, like, I've seen him on Ellen before I ever saw him play basketball. So I'm like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, that's...
So that's my...
That's great.
That's my connection to him. I'm like, oh, he's funny on Ellen.
I mean, cool dad. That does kind of sum it up. I never thought about it that way,
Steph
though.
Curry's
he really
like,
just embraces
cool dad vibe.
He really embraces just how nice
Popeye
he is.
Popeye might be eating your shoes.
Poppy.
I'll get you, Poppy.
Eric got these new yellow shoes. Do you want to tell the people about your shoes?
Yeah, I got some, you know.
For his birthday this week.
Pharrell Williams has got a shoe. He puts out shoes with Adidas, and I got this is the second pair of these shoes that I have. They're the hue, like the tennis hues. For some reason, they have organs on the foot inside. They show like
on
lungs,
the inside sole.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why they do that, but whatever. They're really cool. I like them. They're yellow. They're like faded yellow in some spots.
He wants to eat the new
shoelaces. He loves shoelaces. He's the poppy. What can we do? But, I mean, basketball, I feel like, you know, the off season is now even more intriguing now than, like, the actual play on the court. Like, we got a great NBA Finals to me. Like, these games have been compelling to watch, but I cannot wait to see what LeBron does in free agency. Like, what sort of, you know, moves are going to be made by these teams. Like, Philadelphia fires their GM. Maybe they hire David Griffin, who was the former Cavs GM that LeBron respects. Yes. Like, I'm going to be interested to see how these teams maneuver. Obviously, the Pistons are irrelevant because they, you know, have no coach, no GM, and no president of basketball operations 2 weeks before the draft.
No John Beilein.
Yeah, no John Beilein either. He's staying at Michigan. And apparently Dwayne Casey's the head coaching guy that they're looking at. But, like, they have no maybe sense of urgency
can,
right
maybe
now.
Maybe they can lose to LeBron in the playoffs again.
Oh, yeah, maybe they can. Casey. Well, that's the thing. The Pistons have such a low ceiling, but such, like, a high floor. It's weird. Like, they never, like, ever tank, but they, like, just barely... They're not relevant.
Did you go to any Pistons games this season?
I went to no Stones games this season.
We went to one,
I thought it was fun. The new arena, Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was fun.
There's nobody there, but yeah, it's cool.
And I mean, they're a pretty good team. They're nice to watch.
Honestly,
for me,
their style of play this year was better
than
how they were doing it, because Drummond became more of a passing big and actually started showing some sort of, like, progression. Like,
he
started hitting his free throws a little more, started passing the ball. He can't shoot still, but, like, that was cool to see.
Yeah.
And they had a really good run to start the year. They were doing really well. Oh, yeah. They were, like, a really surprising team. And then they just tanked once Reggie Jackson was out.
And then,
like,
the trades.
Yeah,
and then Reggie they traded for Blake Griffin. But, like, it's like now you have two bigs who can't shoot. And, like, that's where you're tied up in, like, $60 million of your cap.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And I'm so used to watching, like, Golden State and the Rockets now that...
they're going backwards.
When I watch the Pistons and how bad they are shooting, it isn't fun for me to watch anymore.
No, no, you're right.
I haven't gone back, so I might notice now, because this is so new to me, I might notice now that I've seen the finals, for instance, like, oh, wait, maybe watching the Pistons won't be as fun, but...
See,
I won't know.
This is where I'm going to kind of nerd out on the basketball and say, like, I like, from a stylistic point of view, like, what it looks like the Pistons are doing is really antiquated, but, like, a team like New Orleans, who had Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, two dominant big men, like, they give a lot of problems to teams like Golden State, who just don't have that kind of size. Or like, Davis and Cousins can both shoot three-pointers. They can both stretch the floor, and they can guard. They're athletic enough. Like, if the Pistons had something like that, they could center their team around the, like, two guys who normally play in the post, but, like, Blake Griffin can't shoot, like, three-pointers. He's not good at it. He takes them, but he's, like, hovering around 30%. Drummond can barely make a free throw. Like, how are you supposed to build a team around that? Like, you end up being so packed in the post, like, there's just no room for them. So, like, I'm interested to see what they do with Blake Griffin. If they can get rid of him, though, honestly, at this point, that'd probably be their best-case scenario, because they're going to owe him, like, $39 million in, like, basically over the next, like, 4 years. Like,
Probably need a coach first.
Well, a coach would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's basketball. I think basketball is the best sport out there right now, but we're going to get into the NFL.
What do you expect tonight first?
Oh, Cavs lose. It's over.
See, like, Kendrick Perkins out there fighting Draymond, or do you think it's going to be a...
why not? I can't believe how much Perkins has been in the conversation, considering he, like, doesn't play at all. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
I
want to see him tonight.
That kind of shows you just how, like, just how much the Cavs really have no shot. Like, that's one of the main storylines of this finals. It's like, oh, Perkins is getting in there in the mix. Perkins doesn't play.
No.
He doesn't do anything. He's essentially their goon.
Yeah.
Like, now there aren't as many, there's not as much physical style of play in basketball now. It's a lot more spread out. But, like, guys like Kendrick Perkins are there to be intimidating. Like, that's pretty much it. But he can't intimidate when you're, like, in a suit.
He almost did. He almost.
I mean, he tripped Steph. And then what I love was Steph was, like, looked at him, didn't even get mad. He's just like, you playing tonight? Like, wow. Like, there you go. That's, again, Steph. Such a likable person.
He's fun to watch.
And he makes those crazy long shots.
He just does it so effortlessly, too.
And then he just does finger guns and just goes on his merry way.
He was bad in game three, but, like, he's just so much... He just changes everything. Like, he changes the math of the entire game, basically. That's why he's so important. So, but, yeah.
Jake, do you have any hot takes before we move on?
NBA hot takes.
NBA yeah. hot takes before we move on to the NFL talk.
Yeah.
Because we got Jake for a limited
LeBron
time.
LeBron is not going to the Pistons.
Wow.
We
yeah.
can cross.
I think we can cross them off.
Cross
yeah.
them off.
That's might go all. To Boston, apparently, but I don't believe that for a second. Mm. No way. Anyway, let's get out of the NBA. Let's talk yeah. about the NFL. Because the NFL has been in the news a lot lately. Not for the reasons that they really want to be, but apparently they do. Because they keep making this... They keep hustling backwards, basically.
Opposite what? Direction of no. the NBA, really.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So what I'm in reference to is this new anthem policy where they are going to be fining teams if players show quote-unquote disrespect to the national anthem, which, I mean, is entirely subjective, and we have no idea, like, what the fine system is going to be. And they had no input from the players when they decided that this rule was going to be in place. So, like, I just... If the NFL wanted to stay out of politics, they just opened themselves up for more of it. Like, I yeah. don't understand, like, what the end game is here. Like,
so I was, disclosure here, listeners, I was prepped on this question, so I got to do a little bit of research. And I don't want to just regurgitate the same, like the flag is, like, it's so subjective. We find it on, like, 4th of July club cups, and at the same time, we hold it in such high regard, kind of, right. like, these contradictory things. I really wanted to look at it, like, why in the first place is the NFL and football so tied in with patriotism and, like...
Yeah.
And the military, too. Like, we have jets mm-hmm. fly over these stadiums before games. People are going nuts. Yeah. We have these giant flags out before
I
the
remember
games.
Somebody... I watched somebody... And so this isn't the NFL, but even in college football, where I'm sure you were at a game where somebody, like, parachuted
into
the big
yes,
house.
I was at that game. That was Notre Dame night game.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was the Notre Dame night game. Yeah, we were both there. We were having a great time.
Yeah, and you know, it's
more night games.
I mean, night games are pretty
night
cool.
Games night games were fun are in cool. college. But anyway, back to Jake. Jake has some cogent points because he does research.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's more of a sociological perspective right. of, like...
Where does this come from?
Where does this come from? And what I did do a little bit of digging, and what I mean digging, I did one article where the government actually pays, like, the NFL to do this. Like, to have these patriotic acts done before the game. It's like...
It's marketing.
The most American thing ever, like patriotism and capitalism, which is our patriotism kind of
yeah.
all thrown into
I mean,
one.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we value our, that's like what we feel like when we say like America's the greatest country in the world, like that's what people think of.
So I don't know, I'm really glad that Jake did this digging because I mean, I think I've mostly been looking at it through the lens of, like, okay, well, in a capitalist system, they have to be loyal to whoever is going to be holding the purse
paying
strings,
them.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, really getting this idea that it does trace back to the military and marketing for the military makes more sense than, say, like, hey, let's go out here and make this rule because we think we're going to lose viewers because people are upset about this. But... Yeah, I think that makes a little more sense in tipping the scales because my perception of it, and I don't really have any hard facts about it, but my perception of it is that it seems like a lot of people who enjoy the sport are split. It's not super, it's not very much like, it's not like overwhelmingly everyone who loves watching the NFL wants the players to stop protesting. It's overwhelmingly split in my
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with
so
that.
So the tipping the scales, hearing it behind the scenes, what Jake found out about, that does, I think, help make sense of why they would do this.
The problem, I wouldn't say even the problem with that. The weird thing about this whole thing is that I believe that there's only really been one side that, like, this whole people who are upset about these players kneeling in the anthem, those are the people who end up being represented in media or in, like, that's the sort of crowd that this, like, political landscape is listening to, or being
well,
sensitive
whoever,
to.
Well, whoever's angriest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, loudest.
Like,
loudest. Yeah. Angriest. And maybe what's essentially not interesting to the media about these protests is that these protests are not protesting the anthem. They're protesting police brutality.
Right.
And they're doing it in a really peaceful way. So well, it doesn't look angry. It's not over the top. It's not really that interesting to just to go to the source and be like, hey, well, you know, do you want to talk about why you would kneel? And I think plenty of people bring up, you know, kneeling actually is a sign of respect. And Eric brought up in the language of this rule change, they're saying anyone who is disrespecting the flag. So that's so subjective, like you said. Kneeling might not be seen to most people, and it shouldn't, in my opinion, be seen as disrespectful. It's a way to bring attention to a very pressing issue in the country right now.
And by being so vague about it, you end up pleasing nobody, honestly. Because if you have somebody do some sort of demonstration and you don't punish them, you have one side of your audience saying, well, what are you doing? You have this rule. Why aren't you punishing them? But if you do end up punishing them, like, you end up basically in a civil rights issue. Like, you end up, whether or not you are, in fact, infringing on their civil rights, like, you're basically, you're pretty much against it.
Yeah.
You're pretty much against any sort of, like, freedom of expression.
If they were gonna come out. And then you end up alienating
another, like you said.
If they were gonna come out as against this, they needed to come out stronger. I think. I mean, like, I don't want them to come out against, like, protests, but if they were going to come out swinging, then they really needed a bigger statement.
Oh, and the president, the person that the owners are trying to please with this, basically, because they don't want the Twitter hands.
Yeah.
That's what they're scared of. They're scared of them Donald Trump Twitter hands. And they ended up getting it anyway because the president was like, well, I don't like that they can stay in the locker room for the anthem. He wants them to make them all
stand
in attention for the anthem. And any sort of compromise is a failure to this president. And they failed the president. They ended up creating the headlines that the owners themselves did not want to have. Because now the president is still commenting about this.
Yeah.
And now the president,
so that's what I'm saying by, like, they needed to do a full measure, and instead it's, like, a three-quarters measure,
it's so not half-assed.
Here's
why it's half-assed, is because the players weren't even consulted about it.
Yeah.
So you can't even be three-quarters because the players had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's all of the owners. Like, they even locked Roger Goodell out of this.
Oh.
He's just a human puppet. He's just a meat shield. That's why he gets paid the big money.
Yeah, he just takes the punches.
That's why he's been commissioner for so long, because he's so good at getting his ass kicked.
So we don't know what this new rule really is, but do you think this is going to be the decision of the owners and how they want their players to act? Or?
I mean, one of the Jets owners came out and said that he would pay any fine that was implemented because of this rule. Because, like, not everyone's on board with this. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have unity in the NFL. Remember last year when Trump came out and SOB'd and everyone was all about unity? Like, that's never really, like, people are so worried about unity when they should have been worried about justice. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
So you end up thinking this sort of distorted view of unity, and everyone comes out as unified against the president at that one time. But in reality, like, there is no unity in the NFL. There is a players' union. And then there's the owners, and those two sides, like, don't get along, and they don't ever really have
the power.
If the owners continue to make decisions without the players, then this is really going to come to a head, which might be for the best.
Well, it's going to backfire on them because, like, they end up alienating their base somehow.
Yeah.
Like,
if
they're not going hard enough, they're going to be on them. And the players' union are there to fight. Like, they still have rights, like. You can't just make all these decisions without their, like, consent, like, in a certain way. This stuff has to be collectively bargained. Like, it's really a collective bargaining issue. If you want to make a rule towards the anthem, you got to give something back to the players. And that's what the NBA, to go back to them, they had Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf in the 90s. He didn't stand, I know, that tough name, yeah. I know. but he didn't stand for the anthem in the mid-90s, and the NBA ended up creating a rule that said that all their players had to stand for the anthem at the beginning of the game. However, what feels different about this is that the players' union in the NBA actually received support and, like, is a partner with the NBA owners. Like, they get support for their on this. Yeah, and they get support for their efforts, so they don't feel the need to kneel. They feel like their owners are at the very bare minimum listening to them and actually engaging on what they wanted. Like, you see all those NBA cares, you know, commercials. Like, that's in part because the owners empower the players.
Yeah.
And you get to see that. In the NFL, the owners do not at all empower the players.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I've heard this before, and correct if I'm wrong, Eric, but it's kind of like, well, in the NBA, there are so few dominant players that control the league, so the winds kind of blow whatever their decisions are, and that's not the case in the NFL. Like,
in the NFL, I get the feeling that most of the players
are nameless and faceless.
They would need Tom Brady, they would need basically all the white quarterbacks to start kneeling.
Well,
that's another podcast.
Well, you know, but here's the thing, is like, guy like Aaron Rodgers, him and LeBron James, I feel like, are very similar in, like, how they come out in the public and how they sort of, you know, methodically have things to say about these topics without really saying a whole lot. Like, LeBron James only usually says on these political, social issues, only the most obvious things ever.
Right.
Like, and Aaron Rodgers is the same
way. For some reason, he doesn't feel like he can go further than that. I get the real impression when I watch LeBron James talk about social issues that he's tiptoeing around things.
It's because he's a spokesman for Nike.
Yeah.
First of all, he's a spokesman for Nike before he is for the Cavs or any NBA team that he plays for.
Nike pays him more, right?
Nike will be paying him long after he has a career and forever in his family forever. Ever, ever, ever. But, like, yeah, he's a global marketing icon, essentially. So I get kind of where he's like, he's sort of parsing his words. He's like, he doesn't get to be as radical as he might want to be. Like, he probably does have strong opinions on this stuff, but, like, it doesn't come out that way because he's LeBron James. He can't, like, just say whatever he wants all the time. Only on his burner accounts. When we find those burners, we're going to have fun with that. I mean, but I don't get the impression that LeBron James ever feels, like, insecure about a whole lot.
No.
Like, he feels very... And that's where I'm like, okay, don't ever say anything you don't feel 100% about. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's where he kind of, like, that's how he sort of, you know, maneuvers the public space. When he came out and said on that press conference one time, like, I get to live my life and you guys get to wake up being miserable, like, after he lost that series in, like, Dallas, like, that's really the only negative or sort of polarizing public LeBron that we really get. Not a whole lot.
I think when his house in L.A. was, like, vandalized with racial slurs, that was probably the most I've seen him.
Like, speak out. Yeah.
Well,
they had the tribute
after Trayvon, too. And, like, somebody had to
target
him to get him
when he was with the Heat. Yeah, they had the thing with Trayvon where they wore the shirts and can't breathe. Like,
but you're right. These little things. It's not, like, a daily thing.
It's clear that he's not unsympathetic, but he's got to protect himself. Well, and I don't think anyone can really fault him for that.
No doubt that LeBron James, and we hear about it all the time, not all the time, but we get to hear about it sometimes, he has some incredible charitable efforts, so that I don't ever feel like, oh, LeBron's not, like,
doing enough.
That dude is gonna, like, house and educate, like, his entire hometown, basically, because he loves it so much, and he's one of those people you would, honestly, he's a role model. Like, seriously, what bad public moments does he have? He's a father, he's been in the NBA, like, for almost 15 years. Like, he's been in the public spotlight since he was, like, 16 years old. Like, and what negative public moments does he have? So, like, the NBA and the NFL are obviously very different in how they treat their employees. And, like, a guy like LeBron, like, just doesn't feel like he can exist in the NFL. Like, the white quarterbacks are so uninteresting.
Like, we don't hear anything from Brady either. That's what I was thinking. That's a comparison
we
can
now
pretty much make.
Here's the thing, is now we do, because he feels empowered now. He went over Bill Belichick's head Garoppolo traded and has this trainer, that Guerrero dude, that dude that said he could cure cancer. Like, literally said that. I'm not even making that up.
That's,
like, his
great
trainer said he could cure cancer.
But looking at Brady, I believe him.
Well, I mean, he eats a lot of blueberries. Look
beautiful
at him.
Beautiful guy.
We love blueberries.
He hates strawberries, though. I don't know if you guys know that, but Tom Brady hates strawberries.
This is a pro-strawberry podcast.
This is definitely a pro-strawberry podcast.
Blueberries
absolutely
are better, though.
Blueberries are
Eric's
better.
Never went and picked blueberries up north like me and Jake have.
No, I haven't. That'd be fun.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think you gotta
fresh
go in May, though.
Hell yeah.
You gotta
yeah.
go in May.
Oh, yeah. Mango's the best. I mean, bagels are better than
I said in May.
Oh, in May.
You gotta
okay.
go in May to pick.
Oh, you got me
it's
thinking
It's not picking
mangoes.
Season.
No, it's not
yeah,
picking
I don't
season.
Think so.
No.
But we all, I think we all are going up north for the 4th.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be up there the whole week.
Jake's gonna
oh,
be there
okay.
when we're there now.
I know I at least get, I think it's on a Wednesday the 4th, and I have Tuesdays and Thursday off anyway.
Yeah,
so
you,
I probably
be
will
there.
Be
yeah,
there for
yeah.
at least a few days. It's yeah, fun.
That'll be great.
What else do we
we have
about?
Another very important topic. I know we
oh,
can't
yeah.
keep Jacob too long. We've got Mandy's
yeah, I gotta
bonfire.
Go. Oh, wait, speaking of Mandy, I have to say, I didn't do any digging. I actually had Mandy do the digging.
Oh,
very good.
So,
articles.
Extra
yeah.
props to
yeah.
Mandy.
Yeah.
We're going to actually edit out the information that Jake gave us, you know, that nice bit of info, and we're going to put,
yeah.
we're going to make Mandy record
yeah.
it now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we're just going to give her, we're going to give her a transcript of what Jake said and just have her say it.
Actually,
yeah.
my better half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, we like Mandy a lot, but, yeah, one more really important topic, which is, cats.
Yes.
Yes. Cats are very important.
For those
to
of
us.
You who do not know, I have a cat named Meatloaf. Approximately 20 pounds, tuxedo kitty.
Thus the name.
From the streets of Taylor to New Boston, so.
Mm. Yep, and he takes Meatloaf for walks, and Meatloaf is great. And Popeye will not go for walks. If you put a
Never.
Harness on him, he will have an existential crisis, so.
He will claw your feet in the middle of the night, though.
Yeah, but.
He
but,
definitely will do that.
Yeah, shout out to Meaty. Great. So, oh, and you had an important announcement. We had one more thing. You have an important announcement. You are announcing.
I'm officially retiring from substitute teaching.
Woohoo!
So.
Congratulations. Hey.
We'll put in some celebratory sounds, maybe some air horn. Who knows?
You know,
I've also retired from substitute teaching.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It feels good. I think the moment I knew I needed to retire when I didn't need to take attendance anymore using the sheet, and I started to know, like, the children themselves.
Right.
And then I knew, like, it's time to get out of there.
This
like,
is the best, actually. I want to hear more of both of you's stories.
Yeah,
like, why
yeah,
you're not
yeah.
substitute
we
teachers
yeah,
anymore, because there's a lot of material
we can
here.
Riff for a couple minutes, I mean.
Yeah.
yeah.
But no, I got time. Like I said, I'll just walk out when we run out of time.
Yes. So.
Right.
Okay. And then it'll just be abruptly.
We'll just keep recording,
we'll
I guess.
Keep talking.
I don't know.
We got to go to this party, too, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I can remember the exact moment I needed to quit, and that was when I was hiding from the students, basically, because they made me work my prep hour, and I wanted to get, like, a minute to myself because my prep hour was going so poorly that I just had somebody watch my class for a minute, one of the security guards, and I went to the staff bathroom on that floor, and there weren't any doors on any of the stalls.
I know.
So I literally could not get any privacy for a second just to, like, collect my thoughts, and I hadn't had a break all day, and I was just like, this is terrible. I must get out. And they had recently, like, also completely sprayed the school for cockroaches, so I looked down and there was a dead cockroach. And I was like, this is really not going
moment.
Well.
Yeah. They made me switch substitute teaching companies to, like, just another one of the same for
yeah.
some reason.
Yeah.
They gave me a $50 gas card for doing so, and I haven't substitute taught since then, so I got free gas.
Hey.
Wow. Work in the system.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's the kind of hustle that I think anyone can appreciate, really.
Yeah, he gets it from me, because yeah. Jake's just copying me. He's even going to be, you know, teaching at the collegiate level.
Maybe.
Potentially.
I'm trying to get a side hustle going, teaching
yeah.
more youths.
There you go.
Yeah, what else do I got from substitute teaching?
We both had the pleasure of teaching our youngest brother, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Katie's got to mention Dr. Kumquat at some point.
Dr. Kumquat. Did I ever show you that email
yeah,
I sent
you showed
him?
Me the
it
email.
Was pretty great. I thought I did. I quit with the really great email where I called a man whose last name was definitely not Kumquat. I called him in private Dr. Kumquat all the time, though. So then when I sent my email of resignation, I addressed it to Dr. Kumquat, so that was fun.
Seriously, one of those walk-off sort of, like, quit, I quit, sort of, like, those, like, real, like, movie moments, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're like, I've never quit a job in any sort of cool fashion. I've like, texted my manager once, I'm done. Like, I've never, like, actually, like, took the time to, like, make fun of somebody.
Well, I took the time to also tell him everything that he was doing wrong, and he's no longer at that job, so, I mean, I think he heard my words and he left.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so me and Jacob, one time, so all three of us, so me and Jake were subbing in different classrooms at Huron High School, and Jeremy was a student there, so it was all three of us in the same building, and everyone kept commenting on it, and it was funny. And then there was a pep rally later, and me and Jake hid in the science lab.
Yeah, we hid in the science lab.
So that we didn't have to go to the pep rally. It was
pretty good.
Very good
pep rally, yeah.
I think I was just eating candy under a desk. It was pretty good. Jake had homework because he's always busy.
Yeah.
Not for long. I'm almost done here.
Yeah.
Almost a master. And I think I started to become known as, like, the student loan ranter, substitute teacher, because, like, the only thing I could help the students with, because I couldn't help them with math or science or anything like that,
right,
was like, oh, what's college like? And then it turned into this, like, beautiful thing. Yeah. And then right at the end, it'd be, like, 10 minutes of, like, student loan rant.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where now I'm following my student loan provider on Twitter and constantly harassing and trolling them.
So, that's great. That sounds great. Yeah. I didn't know that you use Twitter that way.
I do.
That's great.
Yeah, so my Great Lakes, probably going to get a tweet tonight.
Yeah.
Nice. yeah, that's another thing. I mean, I did really enjoy, as much as I did not enjoy substitute teaching, I enjoy, you know, really human moments when you can, like, talk to the kids and, like, actually connect with them. And they do love to hear what's college really like, because they hate high school and they just want to get out.
Yeah, high school sucks. Like, in every
so
way.
So it does. It gets better.
You're 16, you got to wake up at 7 in the morning, and you just got to go just, like,
even though science has proven
learn
that your
science
brain
every
is mush
day,
at
like, fuck
7
that.
a.m., your brain is mush.
But you gotta get home to plow the fields.
You
like
go to the
three.
Same seven classes every single
get
day.
Home to plow the field.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Gotta husk some corn when I get home.
Great.
Gotta churn some butter.
You know what I was randomly thinking about, like, this week? Like, so did mom and dad just, Katie's my sister, did mom and dad, did they, like, get, like, a bargain bin of, like, 80s movies and, like, have us watch them, like, VHSs? Like, The Brave Little Toaster, The Princess Swan.
Oh, I loved that.
There's another one. It might have been
The Fox and the Hound.
All these movies have been coming back to me, like, lately. Like, I was trying to think of the plot of The Brave Little Toaster.
Okay.
Can you recount
the plot?
It?
Okay,
the
so this is my recollection of the plot of The Brave Little Toaster, which we must have watched conservatively 100 times.
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched this at least 100 times, but it was maybe, I'm going to be 27 next week. Jake just turned 25. Probably watched it when he was 5 and I was 7. So 20 years it's been, but from what I remember, The Brave Little Toaster, there's this family, they're living in a smaller house and they have a young boy and he's very connected to all of their stuff.
Yeah.
And then they move and they leave a bunch of their stuff behind, including The Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah.
And I remember my favorite character was the heated blanket.
Oh, Blanky.
Blanky was great. It took me a long time to figure out that, like, his face was, like, the heat dial of the heated blanket.
Yeah, we've never seen a heated blanket before.
No,
actually.
But now I love heated blankets. Yeah. But, you know, back when we were living with the parents, you know. But anyway, and so the plot, I remember, then they try to find that little boy.
Didn't they do they get left behind, or do they fall off the moving van?
I can't remember. They get left behind, I think. They don't fall
off.
That's
a movie I watched 100 times, is Toy Story.
Yeah, so, like, I was vacuuming when I remember this, because the vacuum, like, sucks up its own cord, and it, like, really hurts the vacuum.
Yeah.
And so now whenever I vacuum, like, I make sure the vacuum doesn't suck up the cord, because I'm literally afraid that the vacuum's going to feel pain.
Yeah, that'll do that to you. The Brave Little Toaster will fuck you up.
Yeah, they find the family. Not to spoil it. But
spoiler alert for a really old movie nobody watches. But
I mean, we've been spoiling a lot of just timeless classics, you know, Star Wars, you know, Anakin Skywalker,
Darth Vader. We still haven't seen Solo, so we can't talk to Jake about Solo.
You gotta go see Solo.
I want to see it.
I've heard mixed reviews.
I know, but I really love Donald Glover, so I, like, have to go.
It's really well casted. I enjoyed it. It's,
Because was he a good Lando? I bet he's a great Lando.
He's a great Lando.
Yeah, that has to be good.
And really, I was like, all right, well, like, no one can be Han Solo. Like, Harrison Ford is Han Solo.
Yeah.
And so I was like, had really low expectations for whoever they got.
Do you know what would have really gotten, you know what would have really gotten me in the heart? If they got Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
Because Shia's already done it once. He had to fill Harrison Ford's shoes. Yeah. I don't think he filled them, but give him another chance.
I mean,
I just love Shia.
I so think does they're going to reboot Indy.
The idea
again,
of Shia LaBeouf around any Disney movie is hilarious.
Yeah, that would be too. They couldn't do it because it's Disney brand.
There's no way.
He's a liability. But I mean, was Holes
Holes
Disney?
Might have been Disney.
Might
probably
have been.
Not.
I mean, no. He was like 12.
I freaking loved that movie though, in that book Holes. That was that's
oh,
a classic.
Yeah,
that
was,
I remember watching that on a
beanbag chair.
I used to sing
that woodpecker song.
Yeah. I don't remember anything about the movie. It's
been
so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the Woodpecker song.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sing it right now. But
sing it.
I totally do.
We don't believe
that'll be
you.
For the Patreon page.
One of my students is going to give me a voice lesson for, like, his final presentation, and it's going to be hilarious. He doesn't understand what I mean by, like, I'm karaoke confident, but I am not a good singer. Jake's actually really good at karaoke. What did you remind me of? Okay, so since you haven't run out of the door yet, you were reminding me of, so when you were talking about how you were careful with the vacuum and it had to do with, like, the Brave Little Toaster, when we were kids, we were really superstitious.
Yeah.
We did a lot of weird stuff. Like, we would hold our breaths in the car, like, through the, like, if we passed any cemeteries, I don't know if anybody else did that.
Yeah, of course.
You
yeah.
touch metal when you go over the,
Railroad
tracks.
And definitely, you can't break your mom's back. Like, you can't.
Oh, can't
step
on a crack.
Yeah.
Step on a line, you break your father's spine.
Yeah. You know what I used to do when I used to, my dad, when
I don't know if kids do that anymore. They just got their phones now.
I don't know.
When my dad lived in Dundee, we would go to our aunt and uncle's house in Walled Lake. That's like an hour drive or so. My dad used to drive this green station wagon with a red hood, and
nice.
It was just the worst car. And I used to count how many cars were worse than his.
Oh.
Would drive by. It would be single digits. Man,
yeah.
I'm telling you. I don't...
You're like, worst car on the road.
I am, like, so nervous about having kids because I'm like, my kid will be a dick just like I was. Like, just like that. Be like, ha-ha, Dad, your car sucks. Like... just funny stuff like that.
Oh,
just being like, man.
You know what? Who was just asking
what a
me?
Jerk.
Hannah Eve was just, so Eric's roommate was just asking me, and my friend, Hannah Eve. Hello, Hannah Eve, if you're listening. She just asked me, what's the appeal of trucks? And I said, I'll have to ask Jake. Because I know that you liked having your Bronco.
Yes.
And what did you like about having your Bronco? And now he has a stick shift Chevy Dart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, very big difference.
Yeah, well...
she just doesn't understand the appeal of trucks.
Okay,
and I was trying to explain it to her, and I figure you have similar points that I had.
Well, I like not having to tighten my butthole every pothole I hit. Like,
that's
yeah,
the first thing. Okay,
that
actually...
that is probably the main reason.
I did not... that's the first thing I should have said to her. What I did say, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, if you're in a big truck and you get in an accident, you're gonna win.
Oh, every
that's
time.
True.
That's what
yeah,
our mother...
yeah,
that's what mom... shout out
yeah,
to mom. She's...
yeah.
She's
that's
in
a
her
mom,
big truck now.
That is a mom
yeah,
take.
You
yeah,
can
sure,
just be so carefree in a truck. Like, curbs, like, it's no consequence. Like, well, I mean, if you're going fast enough, but...
yeah.
Basically,
just,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
and then living on a dirt road in New
yeah,
Boston, where we mostly grew up, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'd never... I mean, our dad owned a truck for a while, and I probably used, like, the bed, like, twice. For, like, once for biking, and then another time for sod.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, that's really not that useful. But, no, I think it's mainly the potholes.
I said that men like to think that they're useful. Like, they like to have
they're,
the truck
yeah,
so that
not,
they could help, but
they're probably not
going to do it.
No.
No, but, and I guess yeah, just appearance. Like, they look
I
good,
mean, if you need to yeah, move, a truck's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always looking for somebody with a truck, you know.
See?
Hey, if you're a college student, you move, like,
Jake's,
every year.
Jake's going to conveniently be busy. At last, I think he's done helping move since the Hamtramck move.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, wherever you go,
we're gonna move this fall, and Jeremy's gonna help us because he's strong.
Because he's a little shit, and he needs to do something.
He needs structure,
you know. And I hope you hear that, Jeremy. Structure. All right, I'm gonna buy you a pizza for doing it, but you know, that's because you know you. Thanks, but you know, we need to put Jeremy to good use.
Jeremy's gonna hear this, and he's gonna find you.
Me and Jeremy are cool, man. We always have
for now. Until this podcast comes out.
Hey, man. Back the statement.
He could have powerbombed me. He could have powerbombed me into the pool that first time, but he didn't. You know why? He thinks I'm pretty cool. So maybe he doesn't anymore.
I think it's that he saw you and he realized he would murder you.
I mean, there's that too. But yeah. That actually kind of there you go. It actually worked out for me. Yeah. If I had been big and buff like Jeremy, he'd have been like, oh. Too strong. Must challenge. Oh.
So are we going to end on the most important thing?
What?
Is it Michigan football's year?
It's their year to go 8-4. I mean, that's cool.
Oh, let's end on another important thing. Tell Jake about what offer you got recently related to Michigan football.
Oh, yeah. There's like, I got an offer for like $65 for a ticket versus Indiana. It includes like a hot dog and a pop or something. But like, I would love to talk. Probably want it. I don't. Maybe not.
Oh yeah, I'm in.
But that's in like November. We'll talk about that later. But
yeah. Indiana stands no chance.
But I loved last
hot dog and a pop.
Last year. Michigan football ended the way it deserved to, and they turned the ball over 5 times in the second half and lost to South Carolina. It was my favorite part of their season.
I was at that game.
Yeah, Jake went to that game.
I went there,
and I was like every person in the world watching, every Michigan fan just deserves this moment right now.
It was cold in Florida.
Yeah, it was cold in Florida. You had to watch a team with no quarterback turn the ball over 5 times. Like, that's the life of a Michigan fan in 2017.
Well, that's the question.
In 2018, I don't think it's going to be any different.
No, you don't think the quarterback whisperer has not found a quarterback still?
The quarterback whisperer seems to always find some graduate transfer that he doesn't have to develop. That seems odd.
I know. I'm really bummed out that the Christian McCaffrey or this
Patterson.
I know, but like our guys that we had coming in and now it's
no good.
It's
Peters,
Shea's team.
Is it Brandon Peters?
Okay, no, I don't want to hear Peters.
Oh, jeez, yeah, I know. After last year, it was pretty bad.
Peters,
I mean,
done.
It's just like you can be that bad at the quarterback position if you're like Alabama and you get all the best like offensive defensive line people. Like, if you like, you could do that if you wanted to, but like you can't. There's only one of those teams, like, unless you think Michigan is just all of a sudden gonna get a bunch of dudes from the south to come up to Michigan of all places, which I mean, you know, voted Trump in 2016, so I mean, hey, I think a hard pass here. You know, I might, if I was gonna get listen, if that's what I was going to encounter, it better be 90 degrees. That's all I'm saying. There better be a beach.
In
Michigan, yes, there are beaches, but guess what? It's cold like 6 months out of the year. So,
like,
I'm good.
Like Florida when you go for a game. So you think Michigan's going to have the season, Jake?
I think it's there.
Yeah?
I think.
That's your hot take.
It always comes down to Ohio State, though. We know we can't beat them.
Yeah, but.
They cannot beat. They can.
But I think we found our quarterback just from what everyone else is saying. I would almost like to see us copy Ohio State in a sense and start doing the RPO more instead of doing this pro-style offense where
it's
just
so
pound the ball.
It's so boring to watch.
If we can't.
Because the quarterback is just.
If the quarterback can't throw, we might as well just get a quarterback that can run it every play. Like,
I mean,
that's where I'm at.
Entertain
right now.
Me. That's all I care about. I don't care about wins and losses anymore. I'm dead inside. Like, after I lost to Michigan.
Oh,
after
that was going to be the name of the podcast.
Team Dead Inside. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we finally came full
full
circle
here.
But once I saw Michigan lose to Toledo when I was watching them in a hotel room in the city I grew up in, like, that was it. That was the end. After that, I can't get any lower than that. After, like, I watched a fucking 19-year-old go on the field with a concussion and the coach had no idea about it, yeah, I think it's over. Like, I'm just here for these jokes. Like, and if there's more jokes in Michigan going 13-0, then I'm on that. But to me, it's just funnier if they go 7-6. Like, it's just more it's just better content. Because Michigan fans are fun. They're funny in a way because, like, even though I am one, like, I'm saying people who are invested in Michigan football like that, it's like, we have all this, like, expectations and tradition and stuff, and, like, Michigan's won, like, half a national championship since, like, the 40s. Like, what have Michigan done to earn it?
I haven't seen, like, the earliest memory of, like, the Lloyd Carr teams for me. I mean, they're not.
But that 2006 team was fun to watch, and then we lost Ohio State. Like, the best team, even the best team that Michigan has put out in the last 20 years still wasn't good enough.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. It's the year. It's our year.
It's the year.
It's the year to go 8-4. I want to put it's the year as the title, and then the parentheses to go 8-4 to be the name of this podcast. I don't know. Or 8-5 because you got to lose a bowl game.
How great would it be? You guys are going to keep up with this, and then Jake's right. What if Jake's right? What do you think? He says 8-4. What do you think?
8-5. You got to lose a bowl game to get to 8-5.
I think I'm going to go 13-0.
Wow.
13-0.
Well, they got the two extra playoff games. Oh. So you have to go 15-0.
Ooh, that's how about tough. The next time I'm on the podcast is when they're 13-0 and we'll do a
pre-semifinal preview.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I'd love it. Here's the thing is like I want them to win. Like I like them, but it's funnier if they lose for me. It's just funny. The whole the muff punt thing.
Oh,
all of that, man.
I'm walking out. What's the last right, thing we want to talk go. About?
What's the last thing?
What's the last topic, Katie?
Mental health.
Oh. Yeah. Insurance sucks in mental health. That's all I prepared on that.
Yeah, I figured that's for, like, sucks. A different episode.
The most, from my brief experience in working in a private practice, the most I've had to learn about has been how bad insurance is at covering mental health services and ways to get around that as a practitioner.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem like what I should be learning, but
right.
Of course that's what I'm learning.
Yeah, and I would say from personal experience, trying to get my mental health care covered, I mean, just last month, I was getting billed full price, and I had to call and straighten it out myself. So, mistakes still happen a lot, but, it's unfortunate it's not prioritized more. Take care of yourselves, people. But, it's been fun to, Jake's, you know, still working hard on his master of clinical psychology, even though I went to his impossibly long graduation
process. Yeah, that was long.
I thought you were done, but...
They just didn't want to pay for his second ceremony, so they had us do it with the spring people.
Yeah.
That's so gross. Graduations are the worst.
They are.
I hated my graduation.
We did get Pizza House after, though, so yeah. That was nice.
Well, that part's nice.
That was great.
Yeah.
So we'll end on pizza, or if Cats. Jake has any last words.
I took Milo for a walk today, and he promptly laid by a bush and slept for an hour.
Wow.
And I got the harness so he could lose weight, so...
Yeah. Popeye's currently sleeping right now, as we speak.
Well, he had some hard work. He had to try to eat your shoes and get in the cabinet, get out of the cabinet.
He did. He didn't even close the door. What a jerk.
Okay. This is us signing off.
We're about to take down the blanket fort. This is signing off. Katie and Eric. And Jake.
Love you, Mandy.
Nice.
Y'all come back now.
Okay.